at the start of another new year, as we start to make our tentative plans to get the best out of it, I want to ask an important question. I want to do so slowly, repeatedly, over the course of the next few minutes, in order to put something across that will have a bearing on what you get out of this year. The way that you answer or respond to this question will determine what you get out of 2022. I want to ask the question, who is in control of your life this year? Who is in control? It was a question that was asked to us as EBA ministers and with others at the prayer time this Tuesday, first of the month, as we started to ask the question about where God is leading us. And I want to pass that question on to you. Who is in control? And in order to start to answer that, maybe we need to just deal with a couple of things and be aware of a couple of things. First, about God's sovereignty, and second, about his lordship in our lives. So first, his sovereignty. Do we grasp the significance of God's sovereignty? Let me be blunt. Or do we try sometimes to be God in our lives? Do we understand that God is sovereign? He reigns. He is the ruler of all things. Nothing happens that he doesn't give permission for it to happen, allow these things to happen. Our God is sovereign. Do we grasp the significance? It is possible sometimes that in our complaints, when we're dissatisfied with the way things are going in life, the way God is perhaps working things out for us, that we then try to manage things ourselves. We try to take control. Abraham did exactly that. Do you remember that when Abraham and Sarah had not had children, God promised them they were going to have a child who would bring blessing to the nations? But when they couldn't work out, how is God going to achieve this? And they couldn't work out what God was going to do. And in particular, when they were impatient with God not getting on with it and doing it quickly enough for their timetable, they tried to take matters into their own hands. They tried to do it and play God. And so Sarah took her maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to Abraham, and Ishmael was born. Ishmael, who would become the father of so many Arab nations, and who would spend his life living in animosity, in hostility with the nations around. And I sometimes wonder, if Abram and Sarah had not tried to take back control, I just wonder whether the Middle East might have a slightly different feel to it, different structure at this point. This year, who's in control of your life? Are you going to ask God to bless your decisions? Or are we going to seek to follow his guidance? Sovereignty. The other thing I mentioned was lordship. We say Jesus is Lord. Actually, Lord has been much of what I've been thinking about and talking about right through the service so far. The word Lord was mentioned in all our songs, our hymns. We started, oh Lord, my God. Is he Lord? Is Jesus really Lord in our lives? I want to ask that question seriously. See, we don't live in a feudal system any longer where we have a lord and we're the peasants. And it's very difficult sometimes to grasp the concept of lordship. So I tend to go to the only kind of lord I really understand, pictured, that I can present to you, which is Downton Abbey. Now, you know, that most of you will have seen Downton Abbey at some point, and you know that Lord Grantham is the person who is responsible there. And he is the guy in charge. He's the one who makes the decisions. And people work for him, people serve him, and they follow what he requests, they pursue. I suspect that many Christians really struggle and are under the misconception that somehow it is God that serves us. So sometimes we will come to services and we will expect God to bless us in services. We will come because I need something. Or we pray with a perspective, I need you to do this, do this. We come with this thing of expecting somehow God to serve us. I wonder whether if we came with an understanding we're here to serve God, to serve our Lord, whether we would find all those blessings, all those things that we need fulfilled because we have the right balance of relationship. Sometimes we pray, we don't get the answers we want, and we have a certain degree of displeasure because we don't have that understanding of lordship. I think sometimes when we understand our service, it can be confused as well. We can even serve in a church with entirely the wrong motivation. So much of what can happen in a church can be because of what we need, what we want, satisfying our needs so that we gain satisfaction. Service that we offer so that we are fulfilled, so that we gain status and significance. Lordship is not about serving our ego. It is about serving our Lord. And this question, therefore, of who is in control is really important. And it's right to get this sorted at the beginning of a year. It's a question that also supplements what Richard spoke about last Sunday, a different aspect of it. Because Richard asked you if you were here. I wasn't here, but I have access to the internet, as you all do. All the sermons are there. So go and listen to it. Richard asked if we, like Moses in Exodus 33, are seeking God's glory in our lives. And I wonder what you thought of that and how you took that. It sounds really nice. Of course we would want God's glory, but let's be realistic. I mean, me, little old me, bringing glory to God? Are you serious? I mean, come on, let's have realistic expectations. I wonder if that's how you went away or you would think about that. Surely that's not something that's essential for all God's people. We don't all have that ability to bring a God's glory into the situation. Isn't that for super spiritual people? I just want to get by. I wonder if that was your thought. Many Christians seem to settle for that, and I want to challenge it. Because I don't believe that that's what God wants for you. And it's not what I want for you. And that's part of forgetting who's in control. I want you to know much more of God this year. And so does he. In the Bible, he talks about it as knowing the fullness of Christ. All the fullness in Christ. And that's your gift from him. Every day, that's what Jesus died for, to give that to you. And I believe God wants us to thrive and be blessed and thereby to be a blessing to other people as a consequence. Because he's in charge and he's in control, and therefore we can have all the potential that he wants to find in us. That's his gift. Now, when I listened to what Richard said, more importantly, when I actually read the scripture, a couple of verses really jumped out at me. Let me just share one of them with you. It was this one from verse 13. Moses comes before his Lord and he says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Did you notice in that? that he is seeking God's favor. He's actively seeking it out. He's saying, teach me your ways. Let me spend time with you so that I learn how you want me to be. I want to please you so that I may continue to find favor. Because after all, we're God's people. This is your nation. Who's in control of your life at the start of this year? Who's in control? And do you know God's favor? I'll just step back from that for a moment. I'll put the verse up in a minute again. Let me clarify a couple of things about this. First of all, did you notice that he was seeking God's favor, which gave the implication that it's something you could lose, even though the nation was God's chosen nation? Did you get that? It's something he had to work at. The people of Israel were God's chosen people. They were unique. But in order to know his favor all the time, they had to enter into that covenant relationship with him. Moses wanted to do that. And as a result, to know his blessing. Do you realize that we don't automatically simply know God's favor? When the angel declared the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, there's some wonderful words that we say each Christmas: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Who to? Not to everybody. To those on whom his favor rests. It's not to everybody. The favor will come to God's people, the nation Israel. It would come when Jesus came, as a result of his coming, to all people in the world who know the favor of God, who have chosen, who he has chosen, who've accepted him as Lord and Savior. As Romans tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's when we discover the favor of God. Not because we live in so-called Christian England. This is not a Christian country. It never has been. There are people in this country who are Christians, and they are the ones who know God's favor, the ones who accept him as Lord. We come back to that word again. They know his favor. But do you imagine that then you become a Christian, say age 10, and then the rest of your life is spiritual gravy? Everything is wonderful. Is that how you think things are? You don't need to worry. You know, you pop to church every now and again, have a prayer every now and again. But otherwise, we dwell in God's favor. It doesn't work like that. Your eternal salvation is guaranteed when you become a Christian, yes. But his favor, his ongoing blessing, is something we work at. We call it discipleship. It comes in our covenant relationship with him. Moses was diligently seeking it, and when he sought it, God gave him a response. Let me give you the next verse that comes after that. He said, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And this is how God responded. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When does this favor come? When does this presence come? When we go seeking after the Lord, we seek to walk in his ways, when we're close to him in relationship. When that happens for Moses, for the people of Israel, when it would happen for us as Christians in the church today, a number of things come when we start to give God control. We know his favor. We know his presence, we know his rest, and we know his peace. That's what is promised to us. Sadly, there are many Christians who live their lives and still don't know peace or rest in their soul as they should, because they may have given their lives to God, but they're living at a distance from Him. They're not giving Him control. I want to encourage us to come back to be people who are actively seeking out God, seeking to give Him control. Now, this is New Year. This is the start of a new year. Typically, this is when we do exactly that. That's what New Year's resolutions are full of. So Christmas is gone. The decorations are gone. Maybe. We did ours yesterday. Maybe you still got food for you to do. But those things are behind us. The excesses of eating, maybe, are gone. And in the new year, we try to take back control. And so we control our diet. I'm going to start my time. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to see my family more. I'm going to do more for them. I'm going to sort them out. I'm going to sort my health problems out this year. I'm going to do it. And we put into place all these New Year's resolutions. And if I had £1 million, I'd bet you that your New Year's resolutions will not be fulfilled, because that's you in control. And we struggle, and we're likely to fail almost certainly before very long, because we're human. But I wonder whether things would be different if we invite God to be in control, actively seeking for Him to take His place. And to give you an example of how that can happen, I want to turn to the Apostle Paul in the last few minutes, because Paul was someone who understood what it was for God to have control. Paul was an amazing guy, incredibly well-educated, zealous. This was the opposite of bone idol. This guy knew how to work, and he was zealous in what he did for his people, for Rome, and for later for God. But when he met the Lord and the Lord changed him, he also was a man who was incredibly gifted, and God poured gifts into him, and he started to plan his missionary journeys. But you might remember the incidents in Acts 16, where he'd had this great idea. We're going to go, I'm going to preach the gospel in Asia. What a good thing to do. Until the Holy Spirit stopped him from preaching in Asia. And then he was on the border of Bithynia. He was about to enter. And this is what we read. The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Doing those things. Come on, preaching the gospel in Asia. They were good things. Well, they may have been good ideas, but they weren't God's ideas. And a little later, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia who beckoned him to come. Then he went to Macedonia to preach. He was a man who was spiritually so attuned, who'd given God the right to be in control, the Holy Spirit the right to have control of his life, that he was able to sense when the Holy Spirit said no. He was able to have a vision and understand, is that you this year? Are you full of good ideas for what you think needs to be done? Or are they really God's ideas? And do you know the difference? Spending time in God's presence is the way that we give Him control once more. Do you know that's what we do on a Thursday when we pray? We don't come and turn up and just rattle off a list of things that we pray. I have no idea of what we're going to pray for before we ever get there. But they're wonderful times, because we have learned to surrender ourselves and say, Lord, we're here for you. And the prayer develops, and God's Spirit speaks, and things come out of our mouths, and we pray for things because God is guiding it. That's giving Him control. Lordship requires us to give control, and Paul knew that, and he exercised that. This year, will you let God take control? But then comes this remarkable passage, and I'm only going to touch on it briefly. in 2 Corinthians 12, and it's as though he is boasting. Except read on and you understand that actually he's simply responding to those who would compare him to super apostles, to the other so-called super apostles. And he said, well, you could compare them to me if you like, and I could boast myself about what I've had if you like. And he really could. He could boast of the visions that God had given him that were second to none, that are not detailed in scripture, I'm sure, because we couldn't handle them. Astonishing experiences of God. He could have boasted in those, but he chose not to. In verse 7, he was talking about all of those things. But he said, instead, I choose to boast in my weaknesses, because it was in his weaknesses that he recognized he gave opportunity for God's power to be shown instead. I wonder whether there are things that we need to relinquish this year in order for God to take control of our circumstances. Paul understood that. He'd seen astounding things, and in order for him not to become boastful, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that is. It's not detailed because we don't need to know. Speculation is just playing at theology. The point is, it was something that tore him apart. He desperately wanted to overcome it, and he thought his ministry would be better for it. But the response to God was, my grace is sufficient for you. We read that he said 3 times, I prayed to the Lord to take that away. I don't believe for 1 second that was on Tuesday morning. Things were a bit difficult. So he said, oh, Lord, please take it away. Well, nothing had happened. So Wednesday morning, oh, Lord, it would be really nice. Please take it away. And then Thursday morning again, I don't think that. I don't think this is mere, Lord, would you take it away? I think what that means is, at 3 points, at least in his ministry, in his life, things were so desperate. He was at such breaking point. He was pleading, Lord, will you do something? And on those 3 occasions, each time, the Lord has said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. It's counterintuitive. The world just will never understand that statement. When I am weak, then I am strong. Do you? Because this comes down to who's in control in your life. With our logic, if we're in control, we need to be strong. But with spiritual, God's kingdom, when we are weak, we invite God to be in control. In 2022, are there some things that you need to perhaps relinquish for God to take his control? Is one of those things worrying about things? Are you a person that spends so much time worrying? How am I going to do this? Maybe you worry about finances. Perhaps you worry about your family. Perhaps you worry about your time. Perhaps you worry about your health. And you're going to do this, and that's going to sort it. And then I'll do this, and then I'll do this. Maybe God is saying to you this year, surrender those things to me. Let me take control. You just take each day and go with it. I wonder whether it is our weaknesses that we need to embrace instead of seeking to overcome them. I wonder whether one of the things we need to put down is feeling that we've got to change the fact that we're getting older, or we're feeling weak. Do you know, so many people try to do that. I mean, so many elderly people. My dad used to say to me all the time, I don't need hearing aids. Other people need to speak up. People say, I don't need glasses. They should make the signs bigger. How many people do you know who say, I don't need a walking stick or a frame? I'm not one of those old people. I'm sorry, that's not living in reality. One of the things perhaps we need to give up is our desire to take for God, to take away, to change our weaknesses, but recognize that in them, God can be strong. When I am weak, Paul says, then I am strong. Let God take control. We're an older, uniquely, really older church. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because I think we can do amazing things for God if we just embrace who we are, our weaknesses. Will you do that in 2022? Will you let go of the things you want to take hold of and let God take control? Let's pray.